First week of October, we always find ourselves in Columbus with Mayor Linup. Thank you again for having us.
Welcome to Columbus.
Always nice to be here. Though, you know, unfortunately, just a couple days ago, terrible news, tragedy in Las Vegas. You know, I think all of us, when we first hear things like that, you want answers, but there are no answers, are there?
I read an article one time where they talked about trying to equate the evil with the doer, you know, and it's just really difficult to do that in a way that makes sense, that brings you the kind of closure that you're looking for. There's still a lot to be learned, but I just cannot imagine, you know, being in the crowd, number one, and number two, you know, having a family member who was in the crowd. It would just be heart rendering, you know. So yeah, our hearts and prayers go out to those folks, and you know, hopefully they can find a way to get through.
Yeah, you know, this comes on the heels too. On Saturday, I believe a Columbus police officer was shot, treated, released from the hospital, but this was after a suspect opened fire just after a routine traffic stop.
Correct.
Any more details on that investigation, and how is the officer?
The officer's doing fine. He's on administrative leave. He's still got some stitches in his left ear, left ear, I believe. And you know, we expect to have him back on the force shortly. It's just, you never know. I mean, when officers stop somebody and they approach that vehicle, you really never know what you're going to find. And in this case, you know, fortunately for the officer, you know, he never really approached the vehicle. It ran from him at the from the convenience store there on Washington Street, and he chased it or pursued it out of town. You know, so thankfully not into the city, but away from the city, out near where our wastewater treatment plant is, which for those folks who aren't familiar is, you know, maybe 2 miles south of the courthouse. Back into a wooded section at the end of a cornfield at the start of a tree line. And the assailant, you know, fired at the officer before the officer was able to get out of the car. So fortunately, the officer is not hurt. And unfortunately, the assailant is dead. He was killed by a state police trooper. And we'll never really know, I suppose, why he did what he did. But, you know, the parallels to Las Vegas are pretty clear. I mean, people sometimes just act in ways we don't understand. And that was clearly the case here.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I wanted to just get your take. Governor Eric Holcomb wrote an opinion piece saying the future success is threatened by opioid-related addiction. You know, there's no one solution. I know we've talked about that many times. This is something every city, town is dealing with. He unveiled a next-level recovery website, which he calls the front porch for Hoosiers just looking for help. But it's help for anyone dealing with the issue.
Right.
Families, friends, coworkers, right. Employees. This right. touches everybody. I assume this is what you're looking for.
We've been thankful that the governor's exercising some leadership on this issue. You know, sort of what expected from him, and you know, he's going to deliver. We've got our own program. You know, that we'll tag along. I mean, we're not going to try to chart our own course, but we'll work with what the state of Indiana is going to provide. Our next report to the community is scheduled to be October 24th, and we'll outline some of the programs that we are going to pursue here locally. But a lot of that we'll tag along or with what the state's going to do.
You know, I see a report too here in Columbus about a couple of even drug-related arrests for meth, that they were tied to some drug cartels. So that's part of dealing with this too, is you're trying to help those, but then there's also the crime and the arrest part of it too.
Yeah, we talk about supply and demand. And a lot of the programs that the state will want to work on and that we're going to work on here locally will be demand driven or driven towards addressing demand, trying to reduce it, because the supply side is just insidious. I mean, those folks will find us no matter where we are or what we do. And so it's important for our law enforcement agencies to be ever vigilant, you know, in terms of trying to find the suppliers and interdict the supply, seize the supply, arrest the suppliers, and so forth. And I'm not, you know, disappointed but not surprised that we would have gang activity, you know, anywhere in Indiana related to this, because there's money to be made and that's what those folks do.
What do cities like Columbus need? What resources do you need now more than ever to try to get to more of the root. I mean, as the governor says, there's not one solution. There's right. many different ways to go at this.
Right, right. Well, we've talked about it in terms of prevention, I mean, number one, back on the demand side. And there's, I think, a good educational component there. So we're going to try to have some programs for the schools to use and for some of the faith-based activities here in town, even at some of the churches to share with their members. I think that treatment is going to be an emphasis. We're not going to be able to arrest our way out of this problem. So we're going to have to find a way to work with the folks who suffer from addiction to cure that, as opposed to trying to just, you know, pull them off the streets and house them, you know, in a prison or some other, you know, facility. So, you know, treatment and prevention are pretty high on our list. I think we're going to try to find a way to, you know, have some kind of a facility where we can house that. I mean, it won't be adequate, but it'll be better than what we have now. I think, too, that, you know, we talk again about supply and being able to step up our resources. We've got pretty good cooperation right now with our sheriff, our local police, and then the state police and the Drug Enforcement Administration. But I do think the part of what we need to do is spread that out a little bit, you know, and have maybe a little greater cross-county participation. And so we'll be working on that, you know, as all these projects unfold.
All of this takes funding and money as well. I do understand, and you can fill me in more if I need it, that both the local income tax rate passed another vote for the county, which sets it up for a final vote next week. But $6.2 million would go to the city, with about $4.8 for the county. So this all goes for a number, though, of needs, correct, for both county and city?
Right, right. We've, you know, sort of waited to see what the result of the vote's going to be before we start, you know, divvying up the pie, so to speak. But we've had some preliminary conversations with the folks at the county and indicated to them that we view this opioid issue as crisis number one. And so we want to take a good portion of this money and direct, a good portion of the portion that we will receive, and direct it towards that issue. And you know, I think the county intends to, you know, partner with us in that effort. So we'll see. They've got another vote coming in a week or two, and you know, we'll react after that.
Okay. Since we're talking about budgets,
right?
The budget process is moving along. City Council still meeting on moving the budget forward. How's that process coming along?
You know, I think it's moving along as it should. You know, we've had couple of educational meetings with some of the council members to explain to them that what's in this year's budget. It's pretty much business as usual, although we have provided for the addition of some staff. You know, we're going to add one officer in the Metropolitan Planning Organization. 80% of that will be paid for by the federal government. We've got a couple of public safety positions, one in fire, one in police, that we really don't anticipate fully funding, but you know, one of the things we've noticed is that it can be difficult to remain fully staffed when there are retirements. Generally, firefighters or police officers retire with a fair amount of accrued vacation pay or severance arrangements, and so we want to be able to start the replacement process a little bit sooner. You know, what we found is that if a police officer retires, it can take us anywhere from 6 to 12 months before we actually have somebody back, you know, in that squad car on, you know, patrolling around the city. And so what we're trying to do is to be able to act in anticipation of at least the announced retirements, planned retirements. Same with the firefighters. You know, we want to be able to get firefighters into the training, you know, process and have them ready to take or step in, you know, when a firefighter retires and effectively steps out. But they leave active duty, if you want to put it that way, but they don't go off the payroll, you know, for several months. And so that's what we're trying to do, is find a way to bridge that gap. So we've authorized, or we hope to authorize, two positions related to that. And, you know, the population of Columbus continues to grow, and that's a good thing. And so we have to be responsive to that. I mean, what we do is we serve, you know, the community. And as the community grows, we need to be able to provide the service that our residents expect. And so that it gets back into the notion about the planning, Metropolitan Planning Organization, and adding a person there.
Along with the budget, there seemed to be a little debate on salary pay raises. I believe a 2% salary raise
Yes.
Did pass.
Yes.
What centered around that debate of whether or not to do it? Because there was even a moment of maybe some get the raise, some don't.
Well, I think there were several pieces to the discussion. And one piece was whether it should apply to elected officials. You know, we actually have a separate ordinance for employees. That's one ordinance, and then another ordinance applies to the elected officials. There are 9 elected officials in the city of Columbus, a mayor, clerk, treasurer, and 7 council members. In the first reading, the council approved 2% raises for the mayor and for the clerk treasurer, but zero raise or no raise for the council members. And they came back in the 2 weeks later, you know, for the final reading of that ordinance and approved 2% all across the board. So that way it's 2% for all people who are considered to be city employees, the elected officials as well as the regular, you know, full-time, part-time employees. And 2% is, it's pretty close to what the rate of inflation is going to be, you know, for this year. I feel pretty good about it. There are always those who are a little concerned about the effect it might have on those on fixed income. But there are a number of other provisions in the law that protect those folks. You know, either, you know, some fairly generous exemptions on the property taxes or the circuit breaker, which limits their tax to, you know, 1% of the assessed value of their home. So even if the city's budget goes up, if you're at the 1%, you don't pay any more unless your assessed valuation goes up. So it's not something that we can control here at the city.
Mm-hmm. In your mind, do you think this is a good time for that 2% salary raise? Because I know about a year or so ago, you talked about a study of right. Salary compensation across the board.
Yeah, the salary study, you know, is a great idea. And the result of the great idea is that a lot of other departments wanted in on it. And we have about 425 full-time equivalents, you know, in terms of employees, probably about 125 different positions. And to study those in an appropriate format is difficult, because one of the things you find as you go from one city to the next is that the job titles are not indicative of what the job description is. And, you know, you may go to one community and a planner level one is the higher paid planner, and then you go to the next city and planner level two is the higher paid. And so, you know, you've got to take the time to actually read the job description and then categorize that person appropriately so that we get the correct comparison. And it's just taken a whole lot longer than what we wanted. So, you know, we anticipate having it done by the end of this year, sometime in December. And once we sort of get a feel for where we are and what kind of adjustments need to be made, then we'll come up with an implementation plan that'll stretch into next year.
Last month we were here, we talked about the new ordinance making its way through City Council regarding inoperable vehicles in residential areas on streets. Where is that now?
That's finished.
It's finished, okay.
Yep, it's been you know, read twice and approved both times. And basically what we're trying to do there is better identify, you know, what an inoperable vehicle is. It may sound simple, but it really isn't, because you can find vehicles that are on the street, you can find vehicles in somebody's front yard, you can find them that, you know, don't move for a long time, but they're plated. And so, you know, is that an inoperable vehicle? Well, maybe it doesn't move, but you don't know until you ask. One of the things that we've tried to do here that I think is somewhat unique among other communities, I haven't seen too many do this, is what we call IVAP, and it's the Inoperable Vehicle Abatement Program. And what the deal is there is if people will let us, we will tow, the City of Columbus will tow the vehicle away, and the City of Columbus will pay the towing company. And they'll tow it to, you know, the salvage yard here in Columbus, and there is typically an amount of money that is paid for the vehicle, and we'll let that money go back to the vehicle owner. So once we make sure we've got clear title, there aren't any liens or restrictions on ability to dispose of that, the City of Columbus will take that vehicle out to the salvage yard, and the owner can get the money, you know, that the salvage company would pay for that. We've had, I think that passed maybe 2 weeks ago, and we've already had two vehicle owners, you know, have come to us and said, take my car, please, you know. So I feel like we're making a dent, yeah. No pun intended, yeah, in the automobile situation here in Columbus.
How about just update general road projects?
Well, you know, we continue to talk about the overpass. It that's a railroad overpass over the Louisville and Indiana Railroad line that runs parallel to State Road 11 and crosses State Road 46 just east of here. That's moving forward slowly. We've begun to accumulate the money that we will need to make our first installment to the Indiana Department of Transportation. They've produced some preliminary designs. At the end of the day, it's their project, it's their road. They're going to give us a little bit of influence on the design, but it's their project. We have pretty much finished up the State Street Bridge. If you have a chance, you ought to get out there and take a look at it. It's quite attractive. We've got probably two paving projects that will be finished later this year with some of the community crossroads money that we get from the state of Indiana. Maybe 5 miles worth of asphalt, all told. And then we'll have two more projects that'll be carried over into next year. So things are moving forward, but just at the the normal pace.
Mm-hmm. And Stewart Bridge. Exit, yeah. and entrance ramp being closed, right?
Well, on the east end of the Stewart Bridge, as you coming into Columbus from I-65. You cross a railroad track. Now, this is not the railroad track I mentioned just a moment ago. This is a spur line off the Louisville and Indiana Railroad that the spur line runs out to an industrial park out on the east side of town. But there's a crossing there. It's in disrepair. Elle and I and the Indiana Department of Transportation have agreed to do that construction work this weekend. So whatever Friday is, I'm trying to do the calendar in my head, but it will close Friday evening and remain closed until the construction is complete. At the outside, we expect that to no later than Sunday evening, with a little bit of luck, some good weather, maybe Saturday evening. But that intersection or that way into town will be closed. You'll be able to get out of town, over the Third Street Bridge, but the way into town on State Road 46 will be blocked. And NDOT's going to have a formal bypass that will take I-65 north to Taylorsville, where you can get on 31 and then come back into town. The locals will understand that there's a workaround at what we call Lowell Road or Southern Crossing. So, one of those two should be available.
And I see the city making progress on the riverfront development, considering more space for a park.
Yeah, there's three parts to the riverfront development. We talk about the work trying to put a trail in between the pump house and the river itself, and that's sort of phase one. The second phase or second segment is to deal with the dam that exists in the river. There's a low head dam that's been there since the 1920s, and it's in disarray. It's it's fallen apart. It's not going to fall apart this afternoon. It's not in any imminent danger of collapse, but it's not very sightly, and it's not getting better on its own. So, we need to find a way to deal with that. The third piece to this project will be what happens on the far side. So this would be across from the pump house or across from Upland Brewery here in Columbus. Right now that's just sort of a wooded embankment, and we would like to see something done with it. And the issue we're trying to decide now is if it becomes a park, how active or passive of a park should it be? Should it have plenty of playground equipment in there, things for people to do, restroom facilities and so forth, or should it simply be a grassy area, maybe with a trail or a bench or something like that? And I think, right now we're sort of in favor more so of the grassy area, a little less active. There's some practical limitations in terms of trying to get water and power to the site and wastewater as well. So maybe we just take it a few steps at a time and start with a grassed area that would allow you to have a pretty good view of the river and enjoy the site, but stop there for now. But nonetheless, those conversations are ongoing with our consultant, and we'll probably be able to decide within the next month to two months.
And it's October in Columbus, but it also means it's Walktober, I understand.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, we've got no shortage of activities here throughout the community. Last weekend we had the marathon, which was pretty well attended. Next weekend we have Ethnic Expo. Walktober will tag along with those particular events, and just an opportunity for people to get out and enjoy the community, maybe exercise a little bit, be heart healthy, all that kind of stuff. So, hopefully the weather will continue. We'll all enjoy it.